down by Thanksgiving. Not that we want you to quit praying then, but just to remember what that is all about. Open God's words with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis. Continuing on with Abraham. And this week we're going to spend a little bit more time on Lot. Last week we spent time looking at Abraham interceding on behalf of those that were in Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18, 23 to the end of the chapter. He made the legal plea. He said, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, don't destroy them. God said, if I find 50 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, I won't destroy it. Well, Abraham kept going back to God, and it got down to, well, if there's 10. If there was 10 righteous, and obviously we know that there weren't even 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's 2 weeks from today's story, though. Abraham and Lot, we're going to contrast them. We're going to be in chapter 19 today. Hopefully we'll get through the first 14 verses. I'm going to start out by reading 1 through 11. I don't know if we'll get to 12 through 14 or not. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said to them, Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night. Wash your feet, and you may rise early and go on your way. They said, however, no, but we'll spend the night in the square. Yet he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, Where are the men that came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may have relations with them. And Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, Please, brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please let me bring them out to you and do with them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof. But the men of the city said, Stand aside. Furthermore, they said to him, This one came to us as an alien, and already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. Sodom and Gomorrah was extremely wicked. We looked at Romans 1 last week, and then Isaiah 3:9 says, in specific reference to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, that they tried to hide their sin. Well, it's not unlike us. We try to hide our sin too. We don't want to broadcast it. Jeremiah 23:14, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah refused to repent. I always say, bring that up, that was the difference between King David and King Saul. One wouldn't repent of his sin and the other did. Do you ever find yourself refusing to repent of your sin? Nah, I'm stepping on some toes. Okay, we're going to look at some parallels between Abraham's hospitality and Lot's. In chapter 18, we're going to bounce back and forth. I'm not going to, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all the scriptures again in 18, but we're just going to compare them quickly and move on. They came to Abraham in the early afternoon. They came to Lot that same evening. After they ate what Abraham got, I don't know how they could eat anything later that night. Anyhow, after the feast that he had prepared, that Abraham had prepared for them. Interesting, in chapter 18, there was three men. Chapter 19, when they come to Lot, there's only two. And we know that that's because the Lord stayed behind to talk with Abraham. Some commentators will say that the Lord couldn't bring himself to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah because it was so wicked, he didn't even want to go near the place. In chapter 18, everything that Abraham did was in a hurry, and it was done quickly. Lot was in no hurry. He took his time. Chapter 18, Abraham, there was a great happy message. A baby's going to be born. How sweet and precious is that good news? That God, the giver of life, was going to make sure that the line was carried on, as we've been watching through Genesis, from Adam and Eve to Noah, and Noah now down to Abram. Because he's got to fulfill Genesis 3:15. In order to do that, the line has to come on through all the way down to Mary, through all the branches of the family tree. Chapter 19, we have an alarming message. Nothing happy about this message. Chapter 19, we didn't read it, but verse 13 says that they're going to destroy the place. Not as good news as a baby coming. Because of the sin of the people, it's going to be destroyed. There was, in Abram's family, there was hope. Although his wife did laugh, because she didn't believe that God could allow her to be pregnant. She doubted that God could do that. I'm sorry I didn't read all the way through to 14. I guess I should have. But at the end of 14, it says Lot is going to warn his sons-in-law, and he appeared to the sons-in-laws to be jesting. It's the same term that was used for Sarah and her laughing that God could make her with child through her husband, but that her body, as old and dried up as it was going to be able to produce offspring. And the term for the laughter is the same here, that his son-in-laws laughed at him when he was warning them that the city was going to be destroyed. It was like, God's a joke. We don't believe that he can do that. You're warning us? That's not going to happen. It's interesting that Abraham, in chapter 18, sat in the entrance to his tent. Lot sat in the gate of the city, indicating that he was at least the leading businessman, if not a political figure in the town. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had only repented of their sin, had only sought the Lord, he would have willingly had compassion on them. He would have abundantly pardoned and forgiven their sins. God died for all those people that were in Sodom and Gomorrah too, because they were sinners just like you and I are. We shouldn't be sitting on our high horses thinking, well, we weren't that evil. How many sins did it take to put Christ on the cross? We often sing that song. It was my sin that held him there. He died for me. And if these people, there was hope, okay? There was hope. If only these two men came to warn them. Abraham had tried to intercede for them. God said, in his conversation with God, God, if you can only find 10 righteous, save them. If they'd only listened. Chapter 18 talks about Abram and his altar. We know when Abram went down to Egypt and all the bad that he did down there, he never built an altar to worship the Lord. His focus wasn't on the Lord when he was in Egypt. But when the Lord brought him back, he built an altar again to the Lord. Never talks about Lot building an altar to the Lord to worship the Lord. Warren Wiersbe says, Lot's heart was in Sodom long before his body arrived there. We know that he saw it, if you'll quickly back to chapter 13 of Genesis. If you'll recall, Genesis 13:10, Lot lifted up his eyes and all that he saw in the Jordan, of the valley of Jordan, that it was well watered. He wanted what his eyes saw, what was good. And then a few verses down to verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, Abram, now lift up your eyes and look at all that I'm going to give you. It's a total different attitude, a total different perspective. Lot went looking for everything that he could lust after. All the land, all the wells, everything that would be good for his sheep. God had to tell Abram to look up and look, and everything that you see around you, north, east, south, and west, it's going to be yours because I'm giving it to you, Abraham. Chapter 14, verse 11. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food supply and departed. And they also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Okay, now Lot's no longer just looking at Sodom from a distance. He's moved in. So that when the invaders came and took everybody out of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was caught up in it. And God used Abram to go and save Lot and the people and bring him back. But he went from looking at it, desiring it, to living and dwelling in it. In 19, what we read, chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, talks about him sitting in the gate. He is now, it just makes me think of Psalm 1. You're walking and then you slow down, you stand, and then you sit. That's how you get sunk in sin. It's how sin just grabs you and pulls you down. It's kind of like the frog. You put them in the water and then you turn the heat up on it. Yeah. Yeah. Satan's not stupid. He knows how to get us. He knows that if he threw us in the deep end all at once, we'd say, no, that's sin. We can't do that. But if you just a little bit at a time, you know, remember our old God's over here. We're here and the world's there. Just a little bit at a time. Well, we're still 50 feet from the world. But guess what's happening? I'm getting further and further from God. Satan's sly. He's cunning. He uses those 10,080 minutes every week very wisely according to his goals. We need to be better at using ours for his goals. So he goes from looking to moving close to Sodom, then to moving into Sodom, and then he's sitting in the gate. It's amazing that, I'm going to give you these verses, write them down. 2 Peter 2, 2 Peter 2, 6 through 8, and verse 9. 8 and 9 there, or I guess just 6 through 9. And then 1 Peter 3:18. Peter declares that Lot was righteous. Well, he had to have been righteous or God would have destroyed him too. Don't let your life look like Lot's. You may end up going to heaven if God sees you as righteous, if you've accepted what His Son has done for you. But He was so close to the world. He liked to look at the world. He wanted what that had for Him. Abraham wanted what God... Hey, God had to tell Abraham to look. Raise your eyes, Abraham. Look at what I'm going to give you. Lot, he was looking on his own because it was desirous. It was good. It was great to look after. A week ago yesterday, we had the funeral here for Elwin. I love doing funerals for people that knew Jesus because of the hope that we have. There was joy here that day. Yeah, there's mourning. Yeah, there's tears. Yeah, there's memories. There's hurt. There's pain. There's loss. But there's not despair. There is hope. And that's the hope that we can have. Say, boy, Pastor, a lot of downer things today. Well, Satan's at work. There's going to be downer things. But we have hope in Jesus Christ. I'd encourage you this week. We love because God first loved us. God showed His love to us by sending His Son to die on the cross for us. How do we show Him that we love Him? We're obedient to His word, the truth. That's how God knows we love Him, is if we're obedient. If there's no movement in your life, there's no, works don't save you, but if you got faith, you're going to have works. It's going to be the proof in the pudding. It's going to be the evidence that would convict you in court of being a Christian. Is there enough motion and activity in our lives to convict us of being a Christian? There ought to be, because we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have a reason to live. So, get off your duffs and let your walk talk louder than your talk talks. Do something about it. Share Jesus Christ with your neighbors. Get online and tell the Michigan Board of Education that what they're doing is wrong. Do it well. Do it respectfully. But do it strongly, very strongly. We don't want that garbage in our schools. Father, thank You for the hope of Jesus Christ. Thank You for the hope that we have in You. Thank you for Your Son. Father, give us the strength and the courage to walk through this week in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.